This week, we talk about living in an empty home, giving thanks to God in everything, and mine and Alyssa's most awkward moment while dating. Hang out with us, subscribe on iTunes, and live tweet with us as you listen with the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. All right, how's it going, guys? I'm Jeff. And welcome to Anything and Everything, an up-close and personal look into the lives of two married people who talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Man, I'm so excited for this week's episode. Just to give you guys some context, we're sitting on our kitchen island right now. We just got a new fridge. They didn't tell us that it takes a full day for the thing to reset.
They said only 2 hours.
Yeah, and it's been way longer than 2 hours, and our fridge is still pretty warm. And then when I called, they said it takes 24 hours, but that was after the fact that we already realized that. And there's basically our entire fridge right next to us. We have the ketchup to our left. We have our Aloha Pog juice on our right.
And my melted gelato.
Yeah, we have the melted gelato.
I had to throw it away.
Yeah, that was actually a very depressing one because it was mint chocolate chip gelato.
It's my favorite. What's it called?
I don't know. It's like that. It's
Valenti?
Like that. Yeah, it's like that clear half pint with like the black lid.
Yeah.
They try to make it look all classy and frou-frou and Pinteresty.
Girls, I know you know what it is.
Exactly. But just to give you some context, just some visualization, we're literally sitting next to basically our entire fridge right next to us and around us. So this should be fun. But with that, that's basically where we've been at this past week. We're still moving into our new home. So they came furnished because I think the guy who used it as a second home. So he didn't want to ship all his stuff back home. So we've been using the last week to basically get rid of his stuff, Craigslist it. And let me tell you, man, Craigslist is exhausting. Just having to always constantly text people back, email back, all that stuff. It's a lot. But it's been fun. And the home keeps getting emptier and emptier. And our container comes this week with all of our stuff, and then hopefully we'll be able to fill it back up with all our stuff. And you know, there's something about when you just have your own home and your own stuff that it makes it feel like a home, you know. So I know I'm really excited for that. But yeah, it's been a crazy week. I don't even know if I want to mention the Seahawks, but I know it was. I mean, honestly, I feel like I don't usually get that upset like through a game, but it was such a like sharp ending. Like, oh man, when you're on the 1 yard line and you have three plays, and I'm gonna stop talking before I start crying.
I cried.
I know it was just. Well,
did
it was
you
just,
cry?
No, it was just so dramatic of like turns that it was just like it put a pit in your stomach. You know, like I usually don't get affected that much by like games, and I'm not that like in them. Yeah, Steven Aslan's giving a little whine if you could hear that. Well, I mean, I'm very invested and I really enjoy the Seahawks and they're fun to watch, but it was just losing like that was like, oh, such a blow. But Tom Brady's amazing. So that was, I'm not surprised.
But they're cheaters.
Oh, sorry. That's true. Let's just test your football knowledge. Did you just hear that on the news or do you actually know what they did?
No, I know what they did. They deflated the balls by 2 pounds each.
That was impressive.
It was like 12 balls, right?
Yeah, are you sure about the pound thing though? Isn't that a lot? I don't know my PSI stuff, but
I thought I heard 2 ounces, 2 something, 2 is by 2.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. So
I thought for sure they would lose just because of that.
Yeah, that's true. I was hoping. Yeah, someone tweeted, they were like, yeah, cheaters never win, .. Wait. Because they did. So, but people could probably say the same thing about the Seahawks because they had a few guys take PEDs a couple years ago. But we're a different team now. Exactly. We're a different team. Different team, different legacy, different people, different culture. Amen.
Oh, well, we still love you, Hawks.
We do. We 12th man all day. But before we get going on our next thing and talk about what we've been learning this week, I do want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, Audible. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with Audible, which you should be if you listen to any of our stuff, we absolutely love it. I have the app. I love them online. They're amazing. And the reason I love them is because, first of all, any book I can get on there, it's on audiobook. They have 150,000 titles on their library. And what's amazing is you get your first month free and then you get your first book free if you use the sign up audible.com/Bethke, our last name. So audible.com/Bethke, you get your first month free and your first book free. And I'm recommending this month The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. That was one of the most pivotal, specifically the most pivotal fiction books in my life, where it really altered my thinking on just how I see heaven, how I see it as this weight of glory and all these different things, which that only makes sense when you read it. But it's an amazing, amazing book.
So good.
I know. I love that book and I just thought of that
and
immediately.
It's short. So it for is. Those that
on an, I mean,
can't do C.S. Lewis as much as other people.
Exactly. Well, if you listen to an audiobook, you can't really tell. But if it's an actual physical book, it's probably like, what, 50 pages maybe?
I don't know. I ate it up.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been able to read most of his stuff.
It's just a really good fiction book. So like I said, you get it for free and your first month free, audible.com/Bethke. We'll probably be recommending like a book of the month or a book on every couple podcasts for that, just because you guys usually, when I ask for questions, that's always one in there. So, but yeah, I mean, how's your week been doing? Catch them up on. This feels weird because I was gone so long between the two podcasts, because I basically left, 2 days after the last podcast on a trip to Tennessee. But then I surprised you by coming home like 6 hours early.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I surprised you and didn't tell you, and you didn't think I was landing till like 10 or 11 p.m., but I just rode the shuttle and walked into the friend's home during the Super Bowl at like 3 o'clock. So that was really fun surprising you. But yeah, I mean, how's your week been?
Well, it's been really good.
Tell them why.
Well, my mom has been here.
Yeah, and you're totes a mom's girl for show.
Yeah.
So I just put totes and for show in the same. I don't know if that works, but hey.
I was trying to think of another hit like totes, word, but I didn't
like
have
for show's trying to be, you know, like gangster, and totes is like kind of white girl. So I don't.
Total
like,
white girl.
Yeah, you can't really put those together.
You're adorbs.
Totes adorbs. That's you. But there's the snort. That's totes
okay,
adorbs.
Okay, question. Hashtag this, people. I don't know what the hashtag is. But
oh,
how
my goodness.
Many
no, hold on.
You...
It's our sixth episode. You don't know our hashtag? Say it.
No, I know our hashtag. It's Jeff and Alyssa.
Okay.
But if you have if you're witty, come up with another hashtag. How many of you have a snort laugh, and how many of you do the snake?
Oh my goodness. I didn't know what that was till you actually just did it. And what she means by that is like when she like when Alyssa wants to like laugh at me. Or no, if Alyssa wants to give me a courtesy laugh where it wasn't funny, but she wants to still make me feel decently good, she does that like slithering sound, like, oh, it's, like it's not laughable enough for her to actually open her mouth. It's just kind of like, but I don't know if anyone does that actually. I've never, so that might just be you. But yeah, let's take a vote.
Don't you remember that commercial like years ago? They had like the different laughs. It was the snake,
I was unaware there's a library.
The hyena, the...
Oh, hyena laughs are hilarious. People that have that, I just die. Neither of us have it, but people that do, I'm like, oh my goodness, yeah. That's too much.
So tell us what your laugh is. Yeah. Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa, hashtag
mine's kind of like, what would you say my laugh? Mine's kind of like when I really laugh, it gets kind of high-pitched, kind of like a cackle. Is that what they call it? Or it kind of like, I kind of roll back a little bit, like when I really laugh.
Yeah, you do. You belly grab.
Yeah, I got to save that for when I'm an old man. That's such an old man move.
But you do it now.
I know, hashtag dad move. Oh, the brute.
The best though is when I don't know if I'm saying you in general, you plural, is when you laugh and you laugh so hard you make no sound. No sound comes out because you're just
that's right when you're like about to cry laughing, where it's like you lose all your oxygen in your lungs and you can't produce any sound anymore. Yeah, that's true. But
anyway, so my week's been good. My mom's been here. We've painted.
Yeah, you guys painted just Kinsley's room.
Yeah. What? Oh, sorry.
I was trying to signal to Alyssa to to give me some water real quick, and she just stared at me blankly.
I thought he was telling me to push my mic up.
No, I just was looking for the water. But yeah, continue.
Yeah, that's about it.
What have you been reading? How's She Reads Truth going this week? Because the cool part about it is a bunch of people have tweeted me saying that they got the Lent study, or that I think they've gone in John. Is John the free one? John's the free one, right?
No, I paid for John. The hymn one that they're going through right now is free.
Yeah, but how are you still in the John one, or how's that going?
I'm still in the John one, so I'm behind everyone else, but I'm really loving it. I'm super excited for the Lent one. If you guys haven't heard of it, they're doing a Lent study starting February 18th, I think. Up until Easter. And I think it'll be on the app, and it is on the app and online. But if you want to order the book, you can still do that. It ships out February 5th, and it's like $30 for the booklet, and it's really beautiful.
Yeah, their art is like on point. I'd pay $1 million for their art. Well, not that much, but you know what I mean.
It's really good. So I'm excited to go through that. And that's called Near the Cross or something like that. But
when's Lent start? Isn't it 40 days before Easter? Or like 30?
So I think it's February 18th.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because if April... Yeah.
Anyway, so I've just been reading John. What about you?
I feel like, and this is something I always, and this is actually even one of the questions we got later, is how do you always, or how do you find time for Jesus or whatever? I feel like whenever I travel, it just messes up my rhythm, and I sometimes don't get in the word as much or whatever. So I feel like I just missed my rhythm the last 4 or 5 days, and I've been in it, and I've been reading. I think this morning, what was I reading? I can't remember.
You're in the Psalms.
Yeah. I try to at least read the Psalms every day. Like I try to just jump there for even if it's like 4 verses. I just feel like it gives, I feel like that's more of like a prayer book. And I think that's, a lot of the, from what I've read, a lot of the first century, well, not even just first century. I mean, before Jesus, a lot of the Jewish people, that's how they used it. You know, the Psalms right, as of lament and ascent and songs and prayers. So I think if we can get back to that, kind of using the Psalms as like an anchor rhythm book of like trying to find our, parallel emotion with David, you know, or just kind of crying those out and stuff. I feel like it's really, beautiful. Mm-hmm. But this morning I was reading, why am I blanking on it? I think I was reading Isaiah a little bit. And then, I was reading John 5, where Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that testify about me, but you refuse to come to me, so that you may have life. I just love that verse because, like, I don't know, it convicts me, you know? It's like, man, Jesus basically is saying you can read the Bible wrong. Mm. And so that's, like, really, really convicting that, hey, you know, am I totally missing the point? And basically, the way you know that is he said it testifies about me. Like, is the Bible... Does the Bible stir my heart towards loving Jesus more? My Bible reading, my rhythm, or does it, you know, make me more legalistic or more drifting away from him or whatever? Or does it really, does it spurn me to him, you know? Or is it just kind of like fall on itself and doesn't go anywhere, you know, doesn't reflect to Jesus? So I always have to test myself on that, you know, and it was also got me thinking too, cause you know, that's the e-course I'm going to probably launch in like a month or two, is just like how to read the Bible, how to understand it. Cause I've been walking through those things myself. And I feel like the last year or two, I feel like there's been specific things like that or specific ways of, hearing and learning Israel's story and specific tools that have just helped me kind of unlock the scripture and just feel like they give more life when you read them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's a really pivotal verse to me, is when I really understood what Jesus was saying, and say they're not just words on a page, but they really are, like, they testify about him. The mystery of Christ is on every single page. And how can I go searching for it? How can I go living in that? And how can I let that be true in my life? So yeah, that's where I was in this morning. But one thing I've been learning, but besides that was more what I was in this morning, but one thing I've been learning, I feel like these last couple of days, is specifically coming back home, is just like having that anchor and being thankful in all things. Because man, when you move, you just learn that lesson very, very strongly, you know?
Are you reminded of it?
Yeah, you're reminded of it. Cause like I said, I mean, like our refrigerator's on the island, you know? Mm-hmm. And then also the water thing doesn't work. So it's like, man, do we have to return the whole fridge? And there, you know, I called them and they have to come look at it. All these different things. It's just like, all the little things add up when you move, and it kind of just starts to like stress you out and annoy you. But then you realize how much, every time you get stressed out and anxious, it kind of just shows that you're not really trusting in God, you know? Cause like, it's like, you know, if Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, there's like no asterisk that says, but unless your fridge starts to break, then you can be anxious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, just no, don't be anxious about anything. He's got it covered, and he's sovereign, and he's king. And so I think it was Jeff, not me, guys, my buddy Jeff, his name has the same name. He was saying, you know, a really unique way to just kind of, that sometimes kind of shocks you out of commands of the Bible, is anytime there's a command in the Bible, say the reverse of it. And it just kind of somehow makes you think about it differently, you know? So like, do not sin. Another way to, you know, the opposite of that would be always do right or something like that, you know? And it just kind of makes you think about it differently. Nothing dramatic, but it just is like a cool way to kind of say, you know, maybe that'll make me live differently. And the do not anxious one I was thinking about, because it's like, do not be anxious about anything. Well, then it's like, okay, that basically the opposite of that is be thankful for everything, right? So even though it says do not be anxious about anything, that basically is saying, you know, be thankful for everything. And so, I'm trying to just learn that rhythm, and I don't know. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Because we're recording this podcast kind of late, so I could just be delirious right now.
I know. I feel like we're a little.
Hey guys, if this podcast seems very different to you guys, it's basically because it's like we're
exhausted.
Yeah, we're basically gonna press stop record. She's gonna go to bed. I'm gonna edit it, put it online, and then I'm gonna go to bed. So we might just sound a little different. But the part of that too, though, is we've realized that our best hours are when Kinsley goes to sleep. So we usually have to reserve those from like 7 to 9. Cause it's like the time where there's not a, she's like at the crazy age right now where she's just bouncing off the walls, and it's like, man, she's not exhausting, but she's so energetic that it's like really fun.
She's a go-getter.
Yeah. You get to the end.
She's just like her dad.
You know, I can agree to that. Like, she literally is just crazy. She just wants to get out and go and jump. This season though is by far the best season.
So fun.
I feel like she's just so active, and it's just, she's kind of talking now, but it's more just like yelling and like making noises. Like,
yeah.
Kind of sounds
not
like it's like a baby Chewbacca. You know, she's kind of like, you know, it's like a high pitched Chewbacca.
What's she like?
It kind of sounds more like a bird, but I guess that'd be like a high pitched Chewbacca. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying about the thankful stuff though?
Totally.
Yeah. And do you feel like even lately, like, do you feel like the move makes it kind of hyper pressure cooker, where you feel like you realize how much you're not thankful? And that's at least me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been struggling with anxiety for a few months now, so.
Well, I mean, so now that we're on the other side of the move, I mean, how has that helped, or has anything changed, or?
I mean, I haven't processed it yet, so I don't know if I can totally talk about it, but.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
It is a little, I mean, it's different, but I still like, it's still like a daily thing that you have to, I have to go to the Lord to. And I think, like being thankful, yes, and praying, and also just filling my mind with scripture, like he is our peace and he will be with us and just all these scriptures.
Is that Isaiah 26? It's 31 where he's like, he will, well, I used to love, it was actually
it's
the verse.
26:3.
Yeah, it was actually the verse I held on to when you broke up with me.
Oh, really? I held on to that verse the same time.
What, when you broke up with me?
Yeah. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind like, is trust on stayed him or on stayed him because on him. He trusts in him.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sick verse.
Isaiah 26:3.
26:3. I love that you said you held on to that at the same time when you were like the one that cut it off.
I know, but even though I was the one to break up, it was still devastating.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It was. You're just playing it off right now.
Yeah.
We've already had this conversation.
I know. I'm just
messing
around.
Lots of times.
But I never... Man, look it. It's coming out in public, though, that we both had the same encouraging verse. Who knew?
I know.
Who knew? Hashtag who knew. Hashtag awesome. Hashtag sovereignty. Hashtag boss. None of those really fit, but well, sovereignty does. Okay. I think we had some really good questions this week. So that's true. I think we should get to those for the last
chunk.
Yeah, keep
us on track.
So the first one's from Ashley. Ashley asked this question. She said, this is a hard one, actually. What are some ways you and Alyssa choose each other every day in a relationship?
Oh, we're doing this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you go first?
I thought it was a really good one. Well, Ashley, we're no experts by any means. Asking that question to us is like trying to ask like a person who can't swim if they can be on lifeguard duty. It just, you know, it's just like very interesting. But Ricky married people, that's a tough question. But I guess we can answer in ways that we're like maybe failing at that, or ways that we aim for that, at least for me. But I mean, honestly, I think your answer is just how you ask the question. I think that is a really cool way to ask it. Like, how do you choose each other every single day? And that's what it comes down to. I uploaded a new video tonight by when we did an interview with Sean and Catherine Lowe from The Bachelor. And he had a really good thing where he just said, you know, God gives us all the tools required in the scripture and through his Holy Spirit and prayer. I mean, I say it exactly like that, but to be a good husband, to be a good father, to be, you know, all these things, like we have the tools. It really just comes down to like us choosing Jesus and then us choosing our spouse or our significant other. And what I think I mean by that is like, you know, first it should be choose Jesus. Like you have to choose Jesus every day. You have to wake up and choose him. And I noticed drastically when the days I do that, I treat Alyssa better. I treat other people better than the days when I don't do that. And so that's the start of it, is choose Jesus, make him the first choice of every day, the first priority, spend time with him. And then it allows me to, you know, choose, you know, Liz, where I can, and I think a better way to put that is basically like serve. Like, you know, it's like basically saying like, I choose to elevate you. I choose to think about you more than myself. And that's really, really hard when you first get married, because that's like what's clashing. It's like these two lives, these two kingdoms, these two. I think that's what people don't realize, is marriage is this clash of two completely different ways of doing things, of doing the dishes, of life decisions.
Making the bed.
Yeah, there's big, there's small decisions. And these all come crashing. And so I think, it really just comes down to, but you know, like even making the bed, so we can get,
I say that for a reason.
The reason she says that is because for the first year or so in our marriage, like I really struggled with making the bed, because I'm so the guy that really likes efficiency. And I'm like, man, it makes no sense to make something that's going to get messed up in probably another 10 hours. It just, I can't do it. Like my mind's going to explode if I actually think about doing that. But Alyssa, on the other hand,
but he would even get upset that I did it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay, there's no context there. I would get upset because I feel like there was like that, you know, like I was creating a burden on, you know. Anyways.
Okay, moving on.
But you really like making the bed because you feel like your day needs to start with that order, and you like that it makes everything, it's like a beginning of peace for you.
Well, and I like things to be organized, and like when you walk by a room, like it looks clean and put together. And
I don't like being messy either. So, but I, for some reason, the bed just never got to me growing up. And so, yeah, so we went through that one forever, you know, and it was really hard. But then I got to the point where I realized, hey, you know, I need to choose you on this one. You know, I need to mm-hmm. serve you. And what was interesting is there's just this weird, beautiful rhythm and dance and dynamic when you do serve and love and you're selfless. Like when I served you and then I was like, hey, you know, I'm just going to make the bed because I know that's what you want and I'm going to give up on this fight. Then all of a sudden you would let there be some times where it didn't have to get made, mm-hmm. you know, or there'd be some times where you would serve me in another way. It's like this. I see it as almost like this circle, and it's like half of the circle is me, like with an arrow, and half the circle is with you with an arrow. And it just kind of goes, you know, like if we keep serving each other, it has this really beautiful picture to it. So I don't know. I mean, is that how would you answer that question to her? And does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm still learning to choose Jeff each day, and like even being asked it is a good reminder. And I think one thing that really helps is just praying for you each day. And like when I go on my walks with Aslan, when I'm praying for you, then I'm more mindful of you and how I can serve you mm-hmm. and, you know, just think of you during the day and be more understanding of things.
Yeah.
And, instead of being just so me focused and.
Yeah. And that's what I love about you is I feel like you always humble me in the sense of like, man, I feel so humbled when I know you're praying for me and lifting me up and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I know that means a lot. And you've kind of taught me that art too of praying for other people and praying for you. And I feel like I didn't do it as much as you. And so it's really convicted me and changed me, I think, in that direction. So that's good. I love you.
Love you too.
Oh, we just had a moment on the podcast. Sorry for the mush, folks. It just
came out.
That's
our second moment so far this podcast.
Really? What was our earlier one?
We shared the same verse.
Oh yeah. That was pretty awesome. Yeah. Hashtag boss. William Kyle Scholl. Any person who has like three names where they do that, they just sound so regal.
Yes.
It's like you're going to be the next Prince of England.
Or president.
Presidents don't do the three name thing, do they?
Well, I was just thinking of.
Maybe they do. Well, they always have the initial, like George W. Bush.
Is that our ice machine working? Did you hear that?
Oh, I did hear that. If that was the ice machine, folks, that's what we're going to. Okay, once we are done with this podcast, we're checking to see if the ice is ready.
This is what we get excited about.
Yeah, this is what happens when you're in an empty home and you get
first time homeowners.
Yep. So someone can hashtag us and ask us if the ice maker is working now after we upload this, because we won't know until we quit recording. So yeah, William Kyle Scholl, I think is how you pronounce it. This is a funny one. He said, what was the most awkward dating moment you have had and how did you get around or away from it?
don't have to do that. I mean, you could do our relationship, but you could do another one too.
I don't think I ever had any awkward moments except with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you were so cool.
No, I wasn't trying to say it like that. I'm just
That's
trying to
pretty
say,
much what it means.
No, I've just blocked out anything besides you.
Well, I had two awkward ones about us come to my mind immediately. What's yours?
I wonder if we have the same one. My first one that immediately came to mind is the side hug on the first date.
Oh, I always forget about that one.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you tell it.
So basically,
we were dating long distance.
Yeah, so we started dating long distance. Yeah, we only knew each other for a week. Like literally we met and we were 3,000 miles away within 5 days. But those two or three times meeting were enough where we knew we wanted to pursue long distance. But yeah, we hadn't gone through the normal like interactions of just social cues and like our life rhythms and all these things. So basically we got really, really, really close on the phone for like 4 months. This is August to December and we dated fully long distance. And I'd never even really taken you out on an official date. It was always with friends and it was kind of that friend thing because it was still trying to get to know you. And so then we set up our first date.
Well, I don't even really call it a date.
What?
You didn't pick me up.
Oh, we're going.
I came to your house.
Are we going old school?
Yeah, I'm all about the old school.
Okay.
It was like a pre-date.
Did you want me to tell you you were my density? Did you? You didn't get that movie quote, did you?
No.
Okay. It's in Back to the Future when Marty's giving his dad tips on Lorraine, and so he writes down, "You are my destiny."
Oh.
But then he goes in and he gets so nervous, he calls her density.
That's right. I forgot about that.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. And then she just looks past him. But so yeah. Okay. So this is our pre-date.
We did have a lot of awkward moments.
And we set up this pre-date, right? And the house I was living at the time, I was living with my mom and it was, like there was a front door to the home, but we'd lived in that house through high school. Any friend I knew always came through the side door. I don't even know how to explain it. That was just how it was. There was a side door and it came straight to the basement where I had like a living room and stuff like that. And, makes me sound creepy saying in the basement. But it was, so, but the front door was so not used that like we basically put stuff in front of it. Like it was just like we, you know, furniture and decorations. And I think it was maybe even Christmas time. So I think our tree was right there. And so you show up and then you knock on the front door, which it's really awkward because I've, you know, for me to go out the side door like at dark night and like scare you and say, hey, no, I'm over here. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to figure out the front door. But I like couldn't, like it kind of opened. Like I was like, oh, there's enough room where I can kind of open it, right? So then I kind of opened it, but then I was like really flustered because no one, I'd never used that door. No one ever came through it. And it only opened like enough for me to squeeze out of it. But then it wasn't enough to fully open it to like welcome you in. But I also was in my mind, my first thought was like,
and
okay.
And your dog was barking.
Yeah. And I didn't want to let him out. He was barking. But then I also was like, you know, you're my, you know, you just like when you play out how everything's going to work out when it's like a special date with someone, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to hug her. I'm going to say hi. Then I'm going to bring her in. And so like immediately my mind was like, oh yeah, get the hug in, get the hug in. But I was basically like halfway in the door, like smushed
well,
in there.
Also,
and I was like a foot, it was like
you were a foot above me.
Yeah, because it was like the floor like raised up a lot from where you were at. You were
like
down
no
a stair.
Step.
Yeah. And so I basically like went, it was just so awkward because I went in for like the hug, but it was like really awkward because
it was
like
I hugged his belly button.
Yeah. And I only had, it was like a side hug. And then I kind of gave you a pat on the back. And then it was like our first hug after 4 months of angst. So then it was just, even, I mean, it's really hard to explain on podcast, but just literally visualizing it, I'm getting like sweating thinking about it. It was the worst hug of my life, but it was at the same time the best. So,
wow, there are so many moments that are, you really were flustered around me. You
I
really
was.
Liked me.
I did. That was the one I think of though. What did you think? Oh, when I, are you going to tell them the marshmallow one?
Well, yeah. Well,
no, we got to save that one for
love. Maybe this doesn't count as awkward, but let me just say the first week that we even hung out, Jeff, blew his speakers.
I did
because
I was trying to impress her.
Trying to impress me while we drove.
We were playing Taylor Swift, NSYNC, Disney music. I was giving her all the classics.
And then we all drove up to go to church together in Seattle, and we were gonna go to Dick's afterward,
which is
like
a Seattle version of In-N-Out. Yeah.
And you got lost, and you tried to play it off like you knew where you were going, but you really had no idea.
No, that's a lie. No, I
didn't
know.
We were following you.
No, it was one of those ones where like I had to finagle. Like I knew, I didn't know the exact street, but I totally knew we were going in the right direction.
And all I remember is Jeff ate so much and you really, really liked your ice cream.
Yeah. Those shakes are bomb.
Yeah.
That's it. I thought that that's not
awkward.
And then
you dropped flaming marshmallows on your crotch.
That one was bad. Yeah. That one was bad. I literally dropped a flaming marshmallow on my crotch in front of 10 other people when they all knew I was trying to impress Alyssa that night. And it was bad.
And then it was like, he tried to get it off and it was like all this gooey marshmallow.
Because it was still on fire and it was melted and it just kept stretching on my fingers. That was really,
and then,
really bad.
Well, the awkward moment I thought of when we were dating was our first kiss. Which I don't know if I even want to talk about it on podcast. Okay, podcast family. I will tell you because I'm not face to face with you right now. That's actually really embarrassing. I don't even know if I can say it.
Okay. Are you talking about the first time you shut me down or the first kiss?
No, the first time I shut you down.
Okay.
So Jeff and I dated and my whole thing was let's not kiss until like the altar. Like I don't want to kiss, da da da.
There's nothing wrong with that if someone chooses that.
No, not at all. But then I started talking to my girlfriends and they're like, why don't you just kiss? It's just better. We can get into that later. There's a whole theology about that. But anyway, so Jeff came over with his baseball team to Oahu.
Yeah, we were playing. Yeah. I went to school in Oregon, but we were playing Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So we were over there. Yeah.
And so my best friend Reese and I flew over there to see him for the weekend. And we were staying. Reese and I were
you already lived
in
Hawaii, but yeah, you already flew over to the other island.
We were staying in a hotel, and I had told Jeff, like, you know, if you want to kiss me, go ahead, just kiss me whatever you want, and da da da. So we were hanging out, and it was time for you to go, so I was walking you out, and then we were holding hands and talking, and it was totally,
you basically gave me the permission, like, a couple nights before or something.
Yeah, like, go ahead and kiss me.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was out of the blue. Like, we basically said, okay, we're going to do this. You know, like I'm gonna try to kiss you sometime in the future.
So Can't even talk about it. So we're holding hands and gazing into each other's eyes.
And it's totally obvious that we're trying to create that moment.
Well, and then all of a sudden, Jeff just keeps looking at my lips. And I'm like, oh no, it's going to happen. And then, you know, like, you're so excited, but at the same time, I've never kissed anyone. So I was like terrified. And he just kept staring at my lips. And earlier that day,
you were.
Earlier that day, he bought chapstick. So I knew something was happening.
If you know me, I always have chapstick.
I know, but you know. And so he kept staring at my lips. And so then he started to go in and I pulled away. And then he tried again and I pulled away.
Well, because I wasn't sure if like, yeah, it was just awkward. I couldn't tell if you were actually like pulling away or if it was just like a weird coincidence of like your move.
And then he went in and I gave him the cheek. And then he got so flustered and upset, I think.
That I didn't get
like,
upset. I was just so like, oh, I don't, okay.
I think you were kind of upset. Then you left in a hurry.
No, you went in. I remember it being you ran inside.
Oh, maybe I
Yeah, like I was totally fine, but you like ran inside the hotel room and I was like, okay, talk to you later.
And I flop on the bed and I go, Risa, I don't know what just happened, but Jeff tried to kiss me and I wouldn't let him. So she sits me down and she like draws out a diagram of how to kiss. And then the next day we kissed and it was really good after that.
Yeah,
but
Oh man,
even awkward talking about
it. I know.
It.
I almost blocked that memory out of my mind. I forgot about it. But it was
you were flustered though, because I remember. We had to talk about it the next day.
Well, I mean, I was so like, yeah, because I knew because we specifically talked about that we were, you know, never, okay, we're getting pretty detailed for the podcast, folks. But
welcome into our family.
Yep,
it's like you're
folks.
Sitting at our table.
Well, they are. They're sitting at our kitchen island next to our ketchup and our guava juice. They are, and our tangerines and our ice packs and everything and our tortillas and everything else here right now. So, but no, it that was pretty cool though. I kind of forgot about the fact that our first kiss was in Hawaii, and look where we're at now.
It was under the Oahu moon on the sandy beaches
of Waikiki. It was.
Okay, next question.
No, you know, I think that's a good one to end on.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you want something a little more godly?
You saying our first kiss wasn't special? I thought it was. So, yeah.
Let's end on a, you know, on an encouragement for
everyone
else.
You mean like more serious?
No, it doesn't have to be serious. Just, you know.
Okay. Well, this is a question that you actually cut off last week, and she tweeted us and said that it was hilarious because you, right when I was about to read it, you're like, no, let's do a funnier question. And then I was like, oh, sorry, Tiara. So, oh. Tiara, this is your question again. Tiara asked, how do you deal with change? How do you move on from fear to trust when new seasons come? That's a good question. I think you would be better to answer that because there's something just in my personality where change is pretty awesome. Just sweet. So, you know, sounds good to me. So that's
because that's what you kind of grown up with your whole life.
Well, yeah, I'm just used to bouncing around and change. And so I'm pretty,
Jeff like really adapts easily to wherever he is.
So yeah, so Tiara, that's a hard question for me. I guess I would say, there's obviously always going to be times where maybe it's hard to trust the Lord, or it's maybe like, man, why is this change happening? I didn't want this change to happen, something like that. And I think it really just comes down to just trusting in the goodness of God and that he's a father and he knows what's best for his children. You know, all these verses come to mind where it's like, you know, this isn't the exact verse, I'll butcher it, but where God basically says, you know, if you pray, you know, for bread, I won't give you a stone. If you pray for a fish, you know, I won't give you something else. So like God knows us, you know, he knows our needs, he knows our hearts, he knows all the hairs on our head. And then I think of the verse that Jesus specifically says when he gives the Great Commission. We don't talk about it as much. So the Great Commission is go make disciples of all nations, but we don't talk about the sentence before that, which says all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So now therefore go make disciples of all nations. And I think that's like Jesus literally saying all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So after the resurrection, he's been bestowed all authority on heaven and earth to him. And there's all these prophetic verses he's probably talking about in the Old Testament with, you know, the enemies being made a footstool and stuff like that. But yeah, I just really love that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. And when we trust that, then I think change can be easier because there's nowhere you can go where God doesn't have authority. There's no place you can be where God doesn't have authority, or there's nothing that can happen that God doesn't have authority over. And so you can trust him with that. But yeah, what would you say?
Well, I would say I don't do well with change at all. It's very hard for me. And even when I know, like, this is totally God's plan, like, there's so much confirmation, and I know he's calling me here, and I'm really excited about it, I still waver a lot. Not waver, but just struggle through the change, because it's hard. And I think it's really easy to be full of fear, or it's just sad. And like, you can grieve a season that you're saying goodbye to something, even though you're saying hi to something and it's wonderful, you still like grieve what you're leaving behind. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think along with that, like, God knows that and God gets that, and we need to grieve. Like, we can't just jump in and like move ahead like nothing happened, you know, like it's okay to grieve and that's good. But at the same time, to continue to trust the Lord and cling to Him, knowing that this is where He has you, and to really, like, I think it's a sweet time to be really close to Him. Like, it's an opportunity to have faith and to draw near, and to be in His Word and remember what He says, and to know that He goes before us and goes, He's behind us and He's with us, and so we're never alone. And I think that's one of the biggest promises that I cling to during change. So, I don't know. That's kind of just simple, really good, but yeah. I'm not good at it, but I'm thankful that the Lord knows that, and there's so much grace in that, and He's holding me through the change, and there's exciting things, but it's okay to like walk through the season of grief too. Yeah. Things you're saying goodbye to.
That's really good. So, Tierra, I hope that encourages you. And then, like you said, how do you move from fear to trust? I think one last thing I would say is, ask yourself what the specific fear is. I think when you're specific about your fears, then you kind of, something happens either where you realize it's really serious and you have to take it serious, in addressing it and taking it to God, or you realize like, oh, that's actually not that, like, that's a weird fear because I know that I can trust in the Lord. It's kind of like this either or where it'll kind of, if you're really specific with what your fear is, then it kind of shows itself. I think fear has power when it's vague, but if you tell yourself what the fear is, then you, if it's a lie, you can take that to Jesus and say, no, 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 I know that's not true. I know that, you know, He's going to take care of me. I know I won't be left out in the cold. I know X, Y, and Z. Or you can say it and you'd be like, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's not a good, a good fear. I already know that's wrong, or something like that. So I hope that's helpful. And know that, yeah, God's a Father. Jesus loves you, and He sees you, and all authority is given to Him from heaven and earth. So, yeah, hope that was an encouraging episode, you guys. Like I was saying, we're a little out of it. So, but I really had a blast on this one, and we gave our first kiss story, which, man, who knew that those details were going to be in this podcast? We didn't when we started recording. But and then the awkward side hug. We went to Chipotle on that first date too, by the way. So I knew I loved you. Because hashtag Chipotle, best thing in the world. Chipotle.
Hashtag Chipotle is life. Men always pick up the girls on a date.
Yeah. Yeah, I failed. Yeah. And hashtag Chipotle is life, though. I didn't fail there. I certainly didn't fail there. Shout out to that guac.
Mm-hmm. You did pay, huh?
Oh yeah, come on. Come on.
Come on.
But yeah, guys, interact with us, hashtag Jeff and Alyssa, ask us questions. We're always on there, always trying to respond to as many as we can, or at least scrolling through and seeing your guys' questions. So hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. And that's all we got. And hopefully we'll see you guys next week.
This mic's coming.